Okay, so what I'm going to talk about this morning is actually the second phase in a three-part project funded by the CDC to help identify and then address the information needs, the educational needs of hematological cancer patients, their caregivers, and their family friends. We were actually privileged last year to present at APHA on the first phase of that project, which was a lot of our formative research, identifying those information needs, finding out the challenges. And so today I'm going to concentrate on that second part. How did we develop a toolkit? How did we develop these materials to help address some of those needs? So just to give you an overview of what we're going to talk about today, just briefly chat about the background, what we've done already on this project, and briefly look at the challenges that were uncovered during the first phase of the project that we wanted to address. Then I'm really going to spend the biggest chunk of time talking about how we developed the toolkit to address those challenges, and then what we found out from some of the materials and toolkit testing. Did we accomplish what we set out to achieve? And then just wrap up with some next steps to show you where we're going to go in that third phase of the project. So some background. When we talk about hematological cancers, what we're really talking about are what most folks call blood cancers, all types of leukemia, lymphoma, as well as multiple myeloma. And as I mentioned in that first phase, what we really did is inventory the existing materials that were out there, wanted to see what already existed, and then also interviewed individuals from those three audience segments, the patients, the caregivers, the family friends, to find out what their information needs were, and then looked at those two things together to find out how well do those existing materials meet those needs? What challenges existed in those materials that we needed to address? And then our goal became to develop that interactive toolkit to address those challenges and meet those information needs. So some of the challenges that we found in that first, in the formative research, there was really six things. The first we found is that there's differing information needs. What cancer patients want to know is often very different from what caregivers want to know and what family friends want to know. There was also limited topics out there in existing materials. A lot of focus on types of cancer and treatment, but not a lot of focus on other activities. Oversaturation was the third issue that we found. A lot of folks felt just inundated with information. We had this one participant who described it as drinking from a fire hose. You're trying to get a sense of what's out there, and you're just overwhelmed with all these details about treatment and risk factors. There were also issues that came up about readability and tone. A lot of the materials written at higher reading levels, higher grade reading levels, and sort of a cold clinical tone that a lot of folks found in those materials. And then finally, different preferences for how those materials should be accessed. And of course, along with those different preferences and the different types of materials come implications for how you can deliver those materials through different formats. So what strategies did we take to try and address these challenges? Well, there's a couple different things that we did. The first is that we tried to address those information needs. We segmented the materials into the different roles: materials for patients, materials for caregivers, materials for family friends. But we didn't just segment them, we also customized those materials. So, for instance, if we're talking about treatment options for a type of blood cancer, the information that's in the patient material might be different than what's in the family friend material. The patient material might have more information, might include specific details about chemotherapy drugs that are used, information that the family friends may not want to get into as in depth. So, in addition to customizing those by role and phase and splitting them into the different audience segments, we also created materials to fill those gaps that were out there. Talking about things such as how do you cope with side effects? How do you deal with the financial impact of cancer and finding treatment? How do you find support groups? What can those support groups do for you? And what's life going to be like after cancer treatment ends? These are things that folks had a lot of interest in and had difficulty finding out in some of those existing materials. The second strategy we took was trying to avoid that information overload. And so to that extent, the materials we created provided an overview of the topics and issues that we wanted to address. And we then provided links to additional detailed information that folks could go to after they got a broad picture of what was going on. Some of those links are going to be within the toolkit itself. So, for instance, if we were talking about end-of-life care for a caregiver, we might say that, you know, a lot of caregivers benefit from support groups, and if you'd like more information about this, you should read our support group material, and they could go directly to that. We also provided links to external resources and organizations for more detailed information. Again, just as an example, if we're talking about treatment options for multiple myeloma, we might briefly describe stem cell transplants and then say, you know, if you want some more detail about this procedure, you can go to the American Cancer Society, you can go to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and get more details about how this works. And I'd like to emphasize that as much as possible, wherever possible, we also included phone numbers as well as URLs. We weren't just sending folks to a web page, but they had a different route to get in contact with those organizations. In the same vein, we created a collateral material, that resource guide, to provide the names, contact information of all these external organizations, so that if folks wanted to get in touch with one of these organizations, they didn't have to comb through the materials again to try and find out where that was. We had it in one place. The third strategy we took was to try and address some of those readability and tone issues. And again, to that extent, all of our materials were at an 8th grade reading level average. Nothing was above a 9th grade reading level. But, you know, as many of us know, there's more to readability than just the number of syllables in the word or how long the sentence is. And so we also built these materials around a low literacy structure. We included very few medical terms, no statistics in the material, which folks, you know, just undeniably had issues with. Low density in the materials. We didn't try to pack in 100 ideas into one material. We made it very easy to follow. And provided basic reasoning so that folks didn't have to try a lot of abstract thinking as they're trying to understand some of these procedures or issues. We also segmented materials into sections. So, for instance, if you were reading about a particular type of lymphoma, it might say, you know, what is non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? What are the signs and symptoms of it? How serious is it? What causes non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? Where can I go for more information? And so that breakdown not only provided individuals a sense of how these materials were laid out and what they could expect to find, but also helped them to go right to it. They didn't have to comb through the entire material to find what they were looking for. Created another collateral material with this, a glossary that helped with those few medical terms that you just can't leave out when you talk about cancer treatment options. We also tried to provide a more positive tone, talking about folks as loved ones, you talking directly to individuals as we're writing, instead of cancer patient or some people. But I want to emphasize that we provided that positive tone without dodging tough issues. You know, we still talked about end-of-life care, we still talked about remission and relapse, and so we tried to incorporate that positive tone without being artificially optimistic in the materials. The final strategy we took was to try and address that format and accessibility. So this toolkit came on a self-navigated CD-ROM. We use simple HTML software to create this toolkit, and I cannot emphasize enough to you how important that is. You know, I'm sure everybody in this room has a laptop probably back at their hotel, and if we looked at them, they're probably all going to have different versions of Internet Explorer or some web browser. Some are going to have JavaScript, some aren't. And so we really build it around simple software that just about anybody who has a computer can pop this CD in and it's going to work. And to that extent, we also created the materials in PDF format so they would work with Adobe Acrobat, very simple, free software. Could be printed out for folks who like to read materials, don't have to read them on screen. They could also be saved to the computer if folks wanted to go back to them later. This is just to give you an idea of what that interface looks like. If you were to pop this CD-ROM into your computer, you'd have a welcome screen that would tell you what this toolkit is about, and then you'd go to the menu where you could see the materials segmented by audience, and you could go through, pick out the materials you want to read about, also go up to the related links and glossary, and really just provides a pretty good interface for finding those materials. So the big question, how did we do? We conducted some materials testing just under 100 individuals through one-on-one hour-long interviews to test not only the content of the materials themselves, the readability, the topics, but also the toolkit. Were folks able to navigate it? Were they able to use those links? Did they know what they were? And we interviewed individuals at 6 different sites so that we could get some geographic spread and make sure we weren't just looking in one area. So what did we find? Well, in terms of content, we found that most individuals were actually very satisfied with the materials and topics available. We did a pretty good job in addressing those audience needs that we had identified in the first phase. In some cases, individuals had other topics that we hadn't initially incorporated that they wanted to see addressed. And so we made sure that we created materials around those topics and incorporated them into later versions of the toolkit. Things like end-of-life planning or how to talk to your family and friends about having cancer. One of the big findings we found in content was that there was a lot of crossover in role and cancer interests. And so, let's say caregivers for interest were very happy that their materials were segmented. They could see what was for them. But after they got done looking at those, they wanted to go over and see what was in the patient column or see what was in the family friends column. And I think that was something we did not initially expect to find in this toolkit. Also some crossover in cancer interests. We read mainly with patients, but you know, we ran into patients who would say, well, I have multiple myeloma, but I know a guy in my support group who has Hodgkin's disease, and I want to read about that and find out more about that type of cancer. So that was a pretty big finding, and I think it definitely has implications for even when we segment materials and customize them for audiences, making sure that they know the universe of what's out there when they're interested in it. In terms of readability and tone, we also found that we did a pretty good job in addressing the readability of those issues. Most folks found the materials very easy to understand and didn't have a lot of difficulty with words. And we found, of course, that patients were more comfortable with clinical terms than caregivers or family friends were. In particular, patients really wanted to know some of the details about treatment. They were familiar with CHOP chemotherapy. They were familiar with different kinds. They wanted to know the names of the drugs. They wanted to know the details of stem cell transplants to a greater extent than the other two audience segments did. Of course, some words were still difficult for folks when you talk about certain types of drugs or certain procedures, and that's where that glossary came in to help support that and provide some more information on those specific terms. And I should point out that in this information toolkit, while you can go to the glossary on your own, you can also click on the term that's defined, and it'll take you right to the glossary so you don't have to swap back and forth between them. We also found that most participants were very happy with the tone, but there was a small number who just still preferred a more optimistic approach. As one participant said, you got to change the tone to be more positive and healing. You need to focus on hope. That's the main thing. And of course, that presents some challenges with how you be accurate, but also provide an optimistic and upbeat tone. I should point out that some of those tone issues were more often raised by caregivers and family friends than they were by the patients themselves, which I think has some interesting implications with it. Finally, our findings in terms of access and navigation, we found that, by and large, the CD-ROM format was accessible to folks. Majority had computers and used the internet, which I think is a pretty interesting finding when you consider the majority of folks with blood cancer tend to be older adults, tend to be 55, 60, and older. But we found there was just wide accessibility to that format. We also found that folks had little difficulty navigating the menu or materials. They didn't have a lot of trouble finding what they were looking for. But we did provide, we did get some mixed feedback on that toolkit menu. While individuals did like having the roles distinguished and they did like seeing all the topics, they felt that the menu was a little crowded, and we could cut down on some of those topic titles to make it easier to navigate through. I'm sure, as I showed the interface before, some of you probably jumped back a little bit at the number of words on the screen, and we had some of those reactions as well. So something we're addressing as we're polishing the toolkit right now. Finally, we found some high satisfaction in use of the links to additional resources. Individuals were very comfortable using those links to additional resources. They knew how to use them. They weren't surprised by what they were. It was just a very intuitive process for them. So in wrapping up and talking about next steps, what we're going to be doing next is providing the toolkits to cancer information and support organizations throughout the U.S., pretty much a national distribution to the best of our ability to do that, and then conduct a national evaluation of that fully equipped toolkit. And what we want to look at through that evaluation is not just confirming the things that we found in our original testing, like feedback on accessibility and materials, but also looking at how individuals come across that toolkit. How did they get it? Who gave it to them? How did they use it? Did they have help using it? Did they print it out? Did they look at it on screen? What did they do with that information? Did they take it to their doctor to talk about? Did they take it to their family and friends to talk about? What did they do with that information once they got it? And then, of course, looking at any differences we can find across all of those issues by geography, socioeconomic status, and race to find out, as we plod forward with this, if there is more customization that needs to be done for some of the folks by those categories. So in wrapping up, I would really just like to make a couple of acknowledgments. As I mentioned at the beginning, this was funded by CDC, specifically the Division of Cancer Prevention and Control, which has been great for this project. The American Cancer Society has played a very large role in helping us create these materials, helping with the testing, particularly providing some of the medical accuracy feedback that we needed on these materials. The wellness community as well has been very instrumental in helping us to test these materials. And I'd also like to thank my co-author, David Driscoll, who's out in the audience there, and I'm sure he'd be happy to help with, he's looking around right now trying to pretend that I didn't call him out, who'd be happy to answer any questions you have as well. But if you'd like more information about this, go ahead, go to that website. You can order a copy of the toolkit. You can find out some more information about it. Go ahead and do that, and of course, please feel free to see me after the presentation or use my email, which is on the cover slide. Thanks a lot.